All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Open the book of Acts chapter 8. Book of Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. Of course, we have our missions conference coming up next week, and I'm just excited about the missionaries and things that we'll be having, and I hope you're praying about what the Lord would have each of us to do. In the area of faith promise and missions giving for 2025, again, we have the cards are in the back there on the table. You can take those, be praying about it. When you're ready to fill that in, there's a large side and a small side that's perforated there. When you're ready, you believe you know what it is that God would have you do next year, you can turn it in, or you can wait till the missions conference, and we'll take those up as well. But the small portion is all that you'll turn in. You can just put it in the offering plate. Again, there's no place for a name or anything like that. It's not nothing like that. The large portion you keep, just as a reminder, you can keep it in your Bible. You can keep it on your fridge, wherever you want, and just a reminder of what God has spoken to you to do for missions in this coming year. We also have one for those sixth grade and under. So if you're a teenager, if you're in seventh grade and up, you can use just the regular one, but sixth and under, we have this one. It's kind of a green print and things. And of course, that's anything from 5 cents to $20 or whatever. Obviously, you can put other and stuff. But I hope you'll be taking one of those and be praying about what God would have you to do this coming year. And it's always amazing just to see what God has done through our church in the area of missions. Remember years ago when we first started this and how God has just continued to bless. And now this year, with our goal being $118,000 just for missions, and it looks like we're, Lord willing, we may even go above that. And so that's exciting. But missions is obviously, I believe, very important to the heart of God. I've said this before and said this just a couple weeks ago. I really believe the reason that God blessed us with this building is because of our missions and our desire to give to missions and to help missionaries around the world. But there are two critical components to missions. There's two critical components when we think about missions. And here in Acts chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 26. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26, and read from verse number 26 down. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." There's two components, I believe, when we look at scripture that are critical in the area of missions. I think we see that here in this passage, right? I think we know the story. This man from Ethiopia has gone up to Jerusalem. He's been there. He's come to this holy city of God that, you know, no doubt for hundreds of years has been talked about. You know, you've got David, and then, of course, how Solomon built the temple. And Jerusalem has just always been a very important place in world history, not just physically, but even spiritually as well. And so this man goes up to Jerusalem and maybe even goes and sees the temple, sees some things around there, and then is leaving and going back to Ethiopia. And the sad thing about this, and obviously, you know, God used it for good, but the sad thing about this passage is here this man, this no doubt unbelieving man from Ethiopia, comes up to Jerusalem. And we would know, and of course, Scripture tells us that Jerusalem is called the holy city of God, right? I mean, this was where the temple of God was. And he comes up to Jerusalem, he's there, no doubt sees the temple, and he leaves the exact same way that he came. He leaves the exact same way, right? Because what had happened was in Jerusalem, it was about religion. It was simply religious rituals that were taking place now. And this man came, saw some of the religious rituals, and ended up leaving. But something happens. On his way, the Bible tells us that somewhere, possibly there in Jerusalem or somewhere, that he purchased some scrolls. The specific scroll that he is reading when we come into contact with him is from the book of Isaiah. As he's reading through here, obviously there are questions that arise in his mind. Who is this? What is it being said? Why is he saying this? And these questions are unanswerable to him. And all of a sudden, there happens to be a man maybe walking next to his chariot or the carriage or whatever he's in, and this man just speaks up to him, and he says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And the man says, "No, I don't." And Philip says, could I explain to you what you're reading?" And he says, "Sure." And so Philip gets up into the chariot there or the carriage that he's in and begins to explain, and the Bible says, to preach unto him Jesus. Can I tell you, religion is not a component of missions. There's lots of religion in the world today, right? But religion is not a component in the area of missions. But there are two critical components that I believe we see here in this passage. Notice, I'm just going to give them to you and then we're going to look at them. The first component is the message, and the second component is the messenger. There must be a message, but there also must be a messenger. And notice what we find here. Notice, there is a wrong message that we're seeing here, right? The wrong message is the world's message. And by the way, the world does have a message. The world has a message, and it is very much anti-God. It's not about God. The world's message is all about self. The world's message is all about you and what you can do, and you're good, and you just do whatever you want. The problem is that's the wrong message. Right? Because we are not good. The Bible is very clear. There's no one that is good. Right? Again, we like to think that we're good, but God says none of us are. And so the world gives us this wrong message. In fact, even in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." He said, this was what our life was like before we met Christ. Right? That's the world's message. It's all about me, right? It's foolish, it's disobedient, serving lusts and pleasures. It's all about me. Paul says that, to Titus, that's what this world's message is all about. It's about having fun, enjoying life, and do what makes you feel happy or good. That's the world's message. You just enjoy it, have fun, don't worry about the consequences. You just do whatever you feel is right. You just do what you feel is good to you. Well, the problem is, again, that's not the right message. That's the world's message, and it's a wrong message. The right message is, of course, what we find here. Notice, again, what he says, "And he preached unto him Jesus," right? Jesus is the right message. Jesus is the message that people need to hear about. Again, in that same passage in Titus chapter 3, just after he says, this is where we were, in verse number 4, he says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." You see, the right message is the message of Jesus Christ. That's the message that people need to hear about. Look, and again, there is a right way and a wrong way to bring the message. We understand that, right? The Bible says we are to speak the truth, but we are to speak the truth how? In love, right? There's a right way and there's a wrong way to bring this message, right? We are to stand against sin. We are to stand with God and what he has said is right and wrong, because we don't get to determine what's right and wrong. God does, right? God is the one that determines right and wrong. Why? Because God is the creator. He's the creator, therefore he is the one that determines what is right. He determines what is wrong. And in even society, without even realizing it many times, follows God's plan, right? I mean, we understand murder is wrong. In most societies, we get that. Murder is wrong. Well, guess who told us that? God did, right? And so many of the things that we follow in society, we actually get from God, right? And so we have to understand there is a right message, and that message is Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that this Ethiopian man was religious. I don't think he would have gone to the holy city of God. I don't think he would have been at the temple. I don't think he would have bought the scriptures, the scrolls that he bought if he was not a religious man. But here's the problem. Religion doesn't save. Religion doesn't save. Not one person is going to heaven because they were religious. Not one. And so you find in this message, again, think about what he says here in verse number 35. He says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." It does not say that Philip preached religion. It does not say Philip preached, go and offer sacrifices in Jerusalem. It does not say Philip preached good works and keep doing good works. No, he says he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus because that is the message, right? In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 23 and 25 to 25, it says this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." He says there is a message that we need to give, and that message is Jesus Christ. And the only way we can give that message is through his word. There, that message has to be given. That's the only message that can save, right? There is no other message. That's why the Bible says there's one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. What is that name? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, no other, right? And so it's not about religion. It's not about being good or whatever, but we must have the right message. And so here, this Ethiopian eunuch, as he's coming down back from Jerusalem, he purchases a copy of Isaiah. But here's the problem. He's reading through it, and he doesn't understand what it's saying. He's reading through it, and in fact, it says what he was reading, right? In verse number 32, it says, "In the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Now imagine, you're this man from Ethiopia. And by the way, this Ethiopian man was very educated. He was very well educated. You don't get to be the in charge of all of the treasure house of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, without being a well-educated man. This man was well-educated. He was a trustworthy man, right? The Bible says he was a man of great authority, okay? So this wasn't just like, you know, somebody without some type of education or anything. This was an intelligent man. But yet as he's reading this, he doesn't understand what it's saying. He's reading it and he doesn't grasp it. And here's the problem. The Bible tells us that spiritual things are hard to be understood by the natural man. The natural man cannot process, we cannot understand the spiritual things of God. Why? Because they're spiritual. And so not only is the message the critical component, but there must be the messenger. Because think about this, if God had never sent Philip down to Gaza to meet this man would have kept reading, but he would not have gotten answers to his questions. But God knew what was already in this man's heart, right? Even before he left, right? It says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip," in verse number 26, "saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So God says, hey, Philip, I want you to leave Samaria. And by the way, there were great things happening in Samaria. If you read chapter 8, you'll find lots of people were getting saved and a church was being established there in Samaria. There were some really great things happening in Samaria. And then God says, hey, Philip, I need you to leave Samaria and I want you to go down to Gaza. Now, in that particular area, there's not a lot there. It's just kind of a desert place. It's basically the highway, the road, right? It's kind of the road that would go from Israel down to into Egypt, into Africa. So there's not a lot there. And can you imagine Philip saying, Gaza? Why do I need to go to Gaza? I mean, things are going great here, Lord. I mean, things are going really great, and people are getting saved, and there's a church being started, and things are just really looking awesome here in Samaria, and you want me to go to Gaza where there's nothing? But he obeys. He does exactly what God says, and he comes down to Gaza and meets this Ethiopian man. When we think about the messenger here, notice a couple things about the messenger. Notice the need for the messenger. Because in verse number 30 and 31, right? In verse number 30 and 31, excuse me, let me get back there. It says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. So again, just kind of get the picture here. They're traveling back. No doubt there's a caravan. Being a great man of authority, he's in some type of cart or some type of thing that's being carried along. I don't think this man is walking as a great man of authority. He's not walking. Somehow he's in some type of cart or something that's being pulled, maybe by oxen or horses or something, but they're just kind of going at a normal walking pace. And Philip comes alongside, and this man is actually reading the scriptures out loud. He's reading the scriptures out loud because Philip hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. And I don't know the whole gist of it, but I can just imagine as Philip is seeing this caravan going by and he gets to Gaza and he's like, Lord, what am I doing here in Gaza? I mean, I was in Samaria, things were going great. You sent me here to Gaza, and now I'm here in Gaza, and what am I doing here? And I don't know if Philip is just kind of walking along the road. Maybe he sees this caravan and he just starts walking along beside this caravan. But somehow as he's walking by, all of a sudden he hears something. Wait a minute. Is that what I think it is? That sounds like the book of Isaiah. Who would be reading the book of Isaiah down here in Gaza? And it says he comes alongside and he's hearing him read the prophet Isaiah. And so we ask him, he says, do you understand what you're reading here? And of course, he says, no, I don't. He says, how can I accept some man should help me, should guide me? It's interesting, in verse number 26, we find the Lord speaking to Philip, telling him to go south to Gaza in the desert. Notice the Lord didn't tell him why he was to go. He just said, go. The Lord didn't plan it all out or show him all the plans to say, you're going to go because there's a guy down there that's going to be reading Isaiah, and this is what he's going to look like, and this is what his carriage is going to look like. God didn't tell him any of those details. God just said, Philip, I need you to leave Samaria and go down to Gaza. No other details were given. He said, I just need you to go to Gaza. I believe one problem that we have with Christianity today is that we're not willing to obey when the Lord speaks. When God tells us to do something, we're more concerned about trying to find out all the details and just being obedient to God. God says, I want you to do this. And we're like, well, explain to me how it's all going to work, God. How is it all going to be financed? I mean, how's my trip going to be paid for? What am I going to do when I get down there? You know, where am I going to stay? All these questions that we have. And because God is not saying, hey, I'm not giving you all the answers. I'm just telling you what to do. I'm just telling you to go. And many Christians, we're not being obedient to God because instead of just obeying, we're stuck asking all kinds of questions that, can I say, God does not have to answer for us. God doesn't have to answer all those questions. God can just say go, and he expects us to go. Again, in verse 27, it says that after the Lord spoke to him, he arose and went. He didn't say, God, you know, why do you want me down in the desert? He didn't say, Lord, you know, it's hot down there in the desert. You know, I mean, there's probably not going to be a lot of water. No questions asked. Philip, without excuse, just goes. He obeys. And when God speaks to us, we need to stop asking questions and giving excuses and just obey. Remember Jonah? What happened with Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He arose and went, but in the opposite direction. He said, I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to do what you want to do, even though he knew what God told him. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach. God even actually gave him more detail than he gave Philip here. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to the people there. God just said, Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza. That's it. One man obeyed, one man didn't. Look what happened to the man that didn't. Imagine spending 3 days in the belly of a whale, right? But Philip obeyed. He did exactly what God said to do. He arose and he went. And I tell you, as Christians, the world needs willing messengers who are going to listen to what God tells us and then do it. I think that some of the young people quoted it. What'd Samuel do? God says, Samuel. What'd Samuel say? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, that was their mentality. Lord, you want to use me? Here I am. You tell me where to go, right? There was a willingness on the part of the messenger. There was a willingness in Philip's life to simply obey what God said. There was a need for the messenger. Think about this. The need is so great. This man was searching for the truth, but he did not understand. And there was no one to help him. No one to help him understand. He was returning from Jerusalem, the holy city of Israel, where he'd been looking for the truth. Again, think about what it says in verse number 27, right? It says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem. Notice those last three words. Why did he go to Jerusalem? Why did he go to Jerusalem? To worship. He went to Jerusalem to worship. You know what's sad is there are a lot of people going to churches all across our country and all across the world today to worship, and they're leaving the exact same way that they came. Because nobody's giving them the message. No one's giving them the message from the Word of God. Oh, they're saying, hey, you're a good person, and keep the Ten Commandments, and be good, and get baptized, and join our church, and all these different things. But that's not the right message. That's the wrong message. The message they need to hear is Jesus Christ. The message they need to hear is, hey, you need a Savior. You're lost and on your way to hell, and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And if you're willing to come to Him by faith, He'll save you from your sin. He was returning from Jerusalem for to worship. Many people are worshiping, but they don't know what it is that they worship. Remember in Luke chapter 10, in verse number 2, Jesus says, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous, but what did he say? The laborers are few. You see, there are many people that need to be won to Jesus Christ. You know, if you're thinking about a population of the world today is now almost over a little over 8 billion, I believe it is. I don't know the exact number, but over 8 billion. If you were to look every person in the eye for 1 second and just say the word Jesus, it would take you 190 years just to look every person in the world in the eye for 1 second and say Jesus. It would take you over 190 years to do that. You see, the problem is not the message. The problem is the messengers. There is a lack of messengers. That's why Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then what does he say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Laborers. You see, we live in a world where, can I tell you honestly, there are plenty of people. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be crass about this. I'm not trying to just make this light. But there are plenty of people all around us that are dying and going to hell. There's plenty of them. So where are the messengers? We have the right message, do we not? Do we not have the message that says Jesus Christ is the way of salvation? Do we not have the message that says Jesus died for their sins? And if they're willing to repent of their sin and put their faith in him, I think one of the young men quoted it tonight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you keep on reading past that verse in Romans chapter 10, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear? How are they going to know the message if there's no one to tell them about Jesus Christ? You see, the harvest is there. It's ready to be harvested. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is we need more laborers to go out into the harvest fields. Again, this is why we support missionaries. This is why we have missionaries come in. This is why I'm excited to have the Grangers come and the Bartons come. Because, look, there are people in Mexico, there are people in Mozambique, all around the world that need Jesus Christ. And maybe God hasn't called me to go there, but if God has called someone else to go, I want to be able to help them so that they can go and they can take the message of Jesus Christ. But in order for the message to be understood, somebody has to be the messenger. Somebody's got to take the message. Somebody's got to take it and be willing to sit down and open it up and say, do you understand what it says? No, I don't understand. Let me help you understand. You understand? That's what Philip did. That's all Philip did. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't understand. Philip said, let me help you. Let me help you understand what he's talking about. I mean, he says, does he speak of himself? No, Isaiah's not speaking of himself. Well, who's he speaking of? Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you who Isaiah is speaking of. Let me tell you about that man that's going to come and he's going to be led as a sheep to the slaughter. Let me tell you about that man that is like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so open he not his mouth. Let me tell you about that man. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. You see, there is a need for the messengers. There's a need, and there ought to be a willingness. Right? We may not be able to go to Estonia or Uganda or Brazil or Thailand, but we can help to send someone so that they can reap that harvest for Jesus Christ. May I ask this question tonight? If God were to say, I want you to go to fill in the blank, would you be willing like Philip to say, sure, Lord, I'll go? If God were to tell you, hey, I want you to become a missionary, of what we would say a foreign missionary. I believe every Christian is to be a missionary and sharing Christ. But if God said, I want you to be a foreign missionary and I want you to go to Argentina, would you say, yes, Lord, I'll go? Or would you start making excuses on why you can't go? Well, I just don't know how that's all going to work out, Lord. You know, my career and my job, and I've got plans for my kids, and I'm not sure how it's all going to work out. Wait a minute. No. Wait. Is there a willingness to say, Lord, you tell me where to go, and I'll go? It's like we were talking about this morning, as Paul wrote to the church of Rome, and he said, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, here it is. You tell me what to do. You tell me where to go, and I'll go. Now, please understand, I understand that God's not going to send everybody to a foreign country. I get that. Because here's the thing, if everybody went, we wouldn't have anybody to send missionaries. You're like, boy, I'm glad I'm safe. No, I didn't say you're safe. I just said God's not going to send everybody. But that doesn't mean God can't send you. If God were to say, hey, I want you to go, what would your response be? Would you say, yes, Lord, I'll go? Or would there be some hesitation and now excuses and questions and wait a minute, is the harvest plenteous? Are the laborers few? Are we not praying the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? Then why would we balk at it when God says, I want you to be one of my laborers? I want you to go to Argentina. I want you to go to Ecuador. I want you to go to Colombia. I want you to go to Uganda. I want you to go to Mali or somewhere like this. I want you to go. You see, there's a need for the messenger. This man would not have been able to understand the scriptures unless Philip came along. And there was a willingness in Philip. He was willing to obey. And then we see the result of the messenger. because there was a messenger, and because that messenger was willing to obey, something wonderful happened. Notice what happens in verse number 37. It says, in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What happened to this man? He went from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship and found religion. Nothing. The religion that could not help. Just like he had left his religion in Ethiopia, he simply found another religion that could not give him the answers to the questions that he had. But as he's traveling back and he's reading the scriptures, this man comes alongside and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, I don't, but I'd sure like to know. He says, let me help you. And he gets up into that carriage and he begins to explain Jesus. And here's what happens. This is the statement that this man makes after Philip preaches Jesus to him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't find that in Jerusalem, did he? It took the message of Jesus Christ and a messenger for him to understand who Jesus was and to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can I tell you, friend, this evening, every one of you here tonight heard the message, and there was a messenger that helped you to understand the truth. Every one of you. You can't understand salvation without the message. You're not going to understand what to do with the message if there's not somebody there to help you with it. Every one of us understands how critical, how vital it is that the message that is there, that their messenger is there. But are we willing to be the messenger for someone else? Are we willing to share Jesus Christ with someone else? He accepted Christ as his personal Savior because Philip obeyed what God told him to do. What a reward for being obedient to God, being able to see someone else trust in Christ and receive eternal life. And because of Philip's willingness to obey God and be his messenger, this man of Ethiopia was able to receive Christ. I love this passage because many times when we were in Uganda and we would try to talk to people, you would have some that would be a little bit obstinate, you know? And they would say, well, this religion that you're trying to teach us, this it's just the white man's religion. It's just the American religion. And I would say, that's interesting you say that. I said, do you know that Africa had the gospel before America ever did? And they look at me shocked. They're like, Africa didn't have the gospel. What are you talking about? You're an American. You're coming from America. I'd say, oh, yeah, that's true. I'm coming from America. But Africa had the gospel before America did. And they look at me stunned. They're like, how? And I get to open them up to Acts chapter 8 and say, look at this man from Ethiopia. Where is Ethiopia? Isn't Ethiopia part of Africa? Oh, yeah, yeah, it is. And here's a man from Ethiopia that got saved. And guess where he went to after he got saved? He went back to Ethiopia. Are you going to tell me he didn't tell anybody about what happened to him when he got back to Ethiopia? I guarantee you he told somebody else about what happened to him. And to see not only the Ethiopian, but to see others that he may have even had a part in helping to come to know Jesus Christ. Why? Simply because there was a messenger who was willing to be obedient to God to help someone understand the message of Jesus Christ. You see, there are two essentials. There's two critical things that this world needs. And you have both. You have the message, and you are a messenger. The question is, will we be the messenger that God wants us to be in sharing Jesus Christ with others? In 1 John 3:17, it says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now again, I understand that passage is dealing with physical things. God says, hey, if you have the ability to help somebody else, and you say you're a Christian, and you see that somebody has a need, and you have that ability, and you choose not to, help that person that has that need, that physical need. He says, how can you say the love of God abides in you? But let's look at the spiritual aspect of that. Oh, we don't, not so much the world's goods, but we have the spiritual goods. We have the greatest thing that each person in this world needs. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. And he says, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. And we don't share that good news. We don't be the messenger that God wants us to be. What does he say? How dwelleth the love of God in him? If God says that about physical things, how much more do you think the spiritual things are to him? When he says we have the answer to their greatest spiritual need, and instead of giving it out, instead of being the messenger that God wants us to be, instead we choose just to say, no, I'm not gonna tell them. I'm not gonna witness to them at work. I'm not gonna witness to them in my neighborhood. I'm not gonna witness to my family. I'm not gonna share this message to others. You see, we have what the world needs. The question is will we give it out? And maybe God hasn't called you to missions, right? Maybe God hasn't called you to go to another country. I get that. God doesn't call everybody to go. But if God would call you, would you be willing? Maybe instead of saying, you know, if God called me, I would go. Maybe the other option would be, I'll go until God tells me not to go. God, I'm willing to go unless you tell me not to go. And if God says, hey, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay right here. I want you to be a witness right here. There you go. Praise God. You know exactly what God says. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be afraid of God telling you to go. You don't have to be afraid of that. What happened? Because Philip obeyed, somebody got saved. That's nothing to be afraid of. You know what we're really afraid of? We're really afraid of just leaving our comforts. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid we're going to have to leave our comforts. We're going to afraid we have to leave our house or maybe leave our job and leave some of these things. Look, can I tell you something? If God tells you to do something, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you, no matter what it is. He's going to take care of you. He had this planned out. He knew where this man was, and he sent Philip exactly to where he was at so that this man could hear. Now, Philip couldn't make him believe, but he simply explained the scriptures, and he put his faith in Christ. He was the messenger. If God doesn't call you to go, then let me ask you this question. How much is one soul worth to you? How much is a soul in Mozambique worth to you? How much is a soul in Mexico worth to you? Is it worth $100 a week for a soul to come to know Christ? Is it worth $50, $20, $10, $5? Look, you can't go out to eat and get, you know, any type of meal for almost less than 10 bucks. And that's cheap, right? That's probably not the healthiest food for you either. We're willing to spend 10 bucks on a burger and fries and a soft drink. We're willing to spend 10 bucks. But when it comes to a soul, well, you know, I just don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I can give. Wait a minute. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about a person's eternal destiny. What's that worth? Would that be worth maybe giving up? Going out to eat once a week? Would it be worth giving up a coffee? Would it be worth giving up something so that a missionary could go, so that the gospel could be preached, so that a man like this man from Ethiopia, who's searching, but religion just isn't providing the answers, can hear about Jesus Christ so that they can know Christ as their Savior. You see, that's, can I tell you, friend, that's really what the church is all about. The church is about missions. That's what it's about. It's about trying to reach people with the gospel and helping them to come to know Christ. Whether that's here in Eaton, Ohio, or whether that's in Mozambique, whether that's in Mexico, that's really what the church should all be about, is trying to reach people with the gospel. You see, again, there are those two critical components, the message and the messenger. The message, can't add anything to it. The message is perfect just the way it is. It's Jesus Christ. But the messengers, we need a lot more. We need a lot more messengers that are willing to go overseas and right here and tell people about Jesus Christ. Will we be the messengers? Will we be those that Christ is saying, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Why? Because the harvest is ready. People are ready. The Ethiopian was ready. There are other people in Eaton and around this area and around the world that are ready to receive Jesus Christ. They just need someone to show them the message and be that messenger to explain Jesus to them so that they can put their faith in Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to realize how important, Lord, missions is, and to realize that these two critical components are what is necessary in reaching the gospel or reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message is very clear. We have the right message. That is Jesus Christ. From your word, you've told us this is the message that needs to be preached. This is the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again and defeated death so that he could give life to all those who would put their faith and trust in him. Lord, the message is sufficient, but we need more messengers. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church, individuals, Lord, that we would pray and say, Lord, do you want me to be that messenger? Lord, if you want me to go to a foreign country, I'm willing to go. I'll go and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll go. Not going to make excuses, not going to question. I'll be obedient. Lord, I'll be obedient. Lord, if you don't call me to go and you have me remain here, I want to be a messenger here. I want to tell other people about Jesus Christ here. And I want to give so that missionaries can go around the world where I cannot and help others to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we've got the greatest message in the world. We just need more messengers to get it out there. Lord, would you help us to be those messengers, to be that Philip. And just when you speak to us, that we would just simply obey, whether it's going, whether it's giving, whatever it might be. Lord, we would just simply obey and trust you, knowing that you're in control. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly tonight. The piano's going to begin playing softly. Maybe tonight, God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you haven't been that messenger that God wants you to be, like Philip. To be that messenger to say, Lord, you tell me where to go and I'll go.